This episode of The Slop on RHAP is sponsored by our friends over at rockauto.com. You know, chain stores, they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and for do-it-yourselfers, while rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. Rockauto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on what the market will bear, like the airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or an account login, because rockauto.com, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And rockauto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Rob is a podcast and he had you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, all at rockauto.com.
If you watch BB for the strategy, this is not the place for you to be. So let's have fun, let's get messy, throw on your unitard and come with me. Welcome to the slop. Now let's get sloppy.
Yes. Sloppy. Let's get sloppy. Thank you again to Will from America for what is the season finale of The Slop. Thanks everybody who's been waiting as we are streaming live here today. Been a sloppy afternoon here at the Sesternino house as we're getting ready for a lot of fun stuff that we have for you. And I'm very excited to have with us on the final slop of the season. We got it started way back when. What was that? February, when we started The Slop.
Here is
the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, I'm excellent. You know, like you said, I was on the maiden voyage of The Slop. Now I'm here to join you on the finale. So you know what they say? It's better to be a sloppy bookend than a sloppy backend.
Yes. Okay. All right.
We'll go with
you
that.
You got there. Okay. Jenny, what's new? How have you been?
I've been great. You know, I feel like this season has been a little bit of a roller coaster, much like 2020 has been. There's not really any roller coasters this time of year. Theme parks are all closed. But so Big Brother
not according
has taken
to Aaron Williams.
Oh, really? Is she?
We could do this on the slop, but I ended up Andy Heron had a blind item on the podcast the other night about a certain Big Brother 15 alumni
that was
invited to Nicole's wedding. And I ended up doing a deep dive into the Aaron Williams YouTube channel. And her most recent video was about her trip to Disney World.
Is Disney World open?
Yes. Wow. She was one of the first people back.
Let me just say, I am 0% shocked that Aaron Williams, Aaron Grease, is one of the people heading to Disney World.
No, she's a mogul. Two things that she's doing right. One, she switched her to a married name. That was good. That helps with the YouTube searching. And two, comments disabled on all videos.
An excellent life choice for her. It was very obvious when Andy was telling that story. Like, ooh, who from Big Brother 15 has a big social media
that
following?
That was a woman, yeah.
It's clearly not... Gina Marie did have that hit song or two, mm-hmm. but I don't think it was Gina Marie. I think it was very obvious that it was mommy blogger Erin. So yeah, I'm not surprised that she's taking her kids to Disney World in the pandemic. But as I was saying, it's been a roller coaster. I went from being really excited and optimistic about this season to, you know, we got a couple weeks in and it was a rough time for a while. And I feel, you know, much like Amon was saying on the recap last night, I just kind of feel at peace now. I feel like, you know, it took a little bit and I'm comfortable with where we've landed. Mm-hmm. And like everyone's been saying, I'm grateful to have had a season. It has delivered in some areas and not in others, but I accept it for what it is. And we at least, you know, we got some jury segment last night, which is always nice. So ultimately, I think a couple weeks ago when I was last on a recap, I said that my biggest hope, or, you know, the one thing that I was rooting for at this point, was just no Memphis and Christmas in the final two. And I'm one step close. I've gotten that. So Memphis is definitely not going to be in the final two. Christmas, we don't know about that. So I'm okay. I'm doing all right at this point.
What was it about the Memphis and Christmas final two that wouldn't have sat well with you?
Where do I start? Yes. I don't know. Well, I'm anti-showmans. No. This was at a point where, like, you know, the fan faves were dropping like flies. And for me, there was just certain people that were more palatable than others that were left, on the buffet of, Big Brother 22. And so I just had to adjust my expectations. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, none of this is my particular, flavor, but I will at least say I don't care for this situation. Okay. And as long as I don't get this situation, then I can rest easy. So I ultimately, I'm getting what I asked for.
You're a sports fan. You know what it's like where I go into the baseball playoffs. It's like, well, my team's not there, but as long as it's not the Yankees or any of these NL East opponents, then, you know, one down, one to go.
And sometimes it's more, well, when you've lost your positive rooting interest, sometimes the next best thing is to just glob onto a negative rooting interest and to root against someone or something. So that's kind of where I've been the last while, and it's worked out. So
okay. Jenny, I manifested it. Do you have a positive rooting interest from the players that are left, from these options?
You know what? There's a lot of I think it's because I've gotten used to how the season was going to play out. You know, when it became obvious that there was going to be someone from the committee that was going to win the season, or committee adjacent, when we're talking about Enzo here, because he was essentially like an honorary member of the committee this season. Once I got adjusted to that being the result, I started to feel good about the particular options. I feel like it's been said, Cody's played an excellent game. He's come back and, you know, really shown that he is capable of playing a winning game. He was capable of playing a winning game if he just made one, you know, decision differently. Mm-hmm. But, I, as much as like the pre-gaming of it all and like these people, like, oh, you know, Cody and Nicole walked in having played together and apparently their moms are friends, who knows. Nicole has always played with a Calafiore brother. So there's all of that stuff, but he still played such an excellent game. It's been so dominant. I will feel fine if he wins. So many personal strikes against some of these people that I have to look aside and say, you know, the COVID denier of it all. But I think that I would feel good about Cody winning. And I also will not be that mad at Nicole winning.
Me neither.
Yeah, I honestly think that It's been an interesting story for her. And, you know, the sheer fact that if she can get to the final two on this season, being one of two winners, is very, very impressive. And she's barely won a thing. So it's one of those things where it's like,
I mean, she did win two competitions in a row.
Yeah, but
she could
like
be turning
late.
It on. Yeah. Yeah.
She's very late. So, yes. I think that it's just that alone is impressive that she's had so many people protecting her and she turned it on when she needed to. I think that's a great story.
So
I think it would very much mean a lot to her. So, would be okay with that too. And also if Enzo does enough to get him the jury votes in whatever the scenario is, I'm happy with that as well. So there are three scenarios that I can I can handle.
Enzo is looking a little bit more redeemable after the activities from in the last 24 hours. We will talk some spoilers here in this podcast, just as a heads up. But just to go back to Nicole for one quick second, for those of us that are in the slot business, I am heavily invested in a Nicole Franzel win, because I think that that is the scenario that creates the best drama for the Big Brother off season.
Oh, absolutely. The wedding guest list, I want updates on what that looks like.
Guest
after,
list,
yeah,
the podcast, you know, invite list of...
Does the price go up of her wedding? Like,
what is Janelle's response to the two-time win? You know, who does Nicole feel slighted by? I just think that the Nicole coming out as the two-time winner of Big Brother, I think that creates the most exciting postseason scenario for us Big Brother watchers.
And I think we need that more than ever, because Big Brother
ends in these unprecedented times.
Yeah, no Survivor until who knows when. There's only so much that the Amazing Race can deliver. Love that steel drum. But so we need something to be invested in the off season here. So I'm okay with that. I think that there is definitely some drama that unfolds. I think no matter what, we will get some Nicole Franzel related updates.
Yes. All right.
Season.
So we have that to look forward to potentially, where I see no postseason drama coming from a Cody Calafiore win.
Yeah. Probably not.
Or Christmas, and almost like nothing from Enzo. Next to nothing from Enzo.
Yeah. So no, I think that wouldn't be. Yeah, obviously depends on the conditions and how we get there. Yeah. I don't understand how there's 2 weeks or
I don't
less than 2 weeks.
Not just 2 weeks, Jenny, but also I believe still 5 episodes and a 2-hour finale. There are still 7 hours of the Big Brother television show to go.
I feel like this is like a wet, like bar mop that is like just like it smells bad and like it needs to go in the laundry, and you're just like wringing
very visceral.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm actually getting nauseated talking about it. But I feel like they're just like wringing every last stinky drop out of this bar mop of a season.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of CBS sitcoms that are in production based on like what we've seen on commercials, but I think that they're not kicking off until November. So I think that basically this is just basically they're throwing Big Brother out there to like they're at 147 pitches. Like, all right, you got another inning in you.
I just don't understand it from a planning standpoint. Why do a triple eviction in like the early stages jury and then drag out the most boring part of the season where there's only a few like people left? And once a competition ends, there are literally only so many scenarios that can take place. Like, why is this the part that we're not accelerating? I just truly don't understand.
It was an insane decision.
It's really absolutely out of control. I don't know who is behind this, but I just want to talk.
Yeah. Okay. Jenny, are you interested in hearing from Memphis?
Of course I am.
Okay.
Yes, I miss him already.
Already. All right. Yeah. So we are able to get our exit interview questions in for each week's departed house guest. And so that we have 5 questions from Memphis. I asked a 6th question. I do not believe that it was asked, which was this was a little trying to be a little tricky. I said the 6th question, which was not asked, or at least that I did not get back an answer to, was what was the single best piece of advice you got before you came back for Big Brother All Stars? Like, well, Dan told me no. So I didn't get an answer to that question. But I have 5 questions with Memphis. And so let's go ahead and you will hear from Memphis. You will hear the interviewer checking in with Memphis. And let me go ahead and bring up Memphis for everybody to check out what he had to say in his exit interview here with me. So here comes Memphis. Here he is. Okay. All right. Here's Memphis. And let me go. I can go full screen on Mr. Memphis. And let's
wearing one of his many denim.
Boy, does Memphis love denim or what?
Yeah, he's a big denim guy.
He's like the new Jay Leno.
I'm disappointed it's not the best. But,
yeah.
You know, I'll take what I can get.
He's got stock in Levi's. denim fist, like sounds like Memphis, like denim fist.
Okay. Denim right. fist.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll
come back to that. All right. All right. Let's pretend like we're doing an exit interview with Memphis. Memphis, good afternoon. Rob, sister, you know, Jenny Autumn here. Nice to talk to you, Memphis. Just want to ask you a first question for you, Memphis. Did you get any sort of an inkling this week that it was going to be Cody and Enzo voting against you? Did they tip you off at all?
Yeah, this week, when Enzo and Cody were the only votes that I needed, I was pretty confident at the beginning of the week, but towards the end of the week, I could definitely tell there was a little bit of extra stress in the house. And for me, I like to reassure myself by just communicating and being like, hey, guys, we got this. The wise guys going to Cody saying, you know, we can make it. We could be the final two. Just let's keep our head in the game. And when those conversations started to get a little shorter and stuff like that, there were definitely tells that I could say that there could be a rift. And they could look at me more as a threat than anything, which is always not a good thing when you're sitting on the block.
Jenny, I always think it's interesting where they do these exit interviews that they have like different setups. It's like they're in some sort of like a pottery barn or something.
Oh, yeah. Like that giant clock behind him that I am certain isn't actually functional, or it's definitely not at the right time. Mm-hmm. If it even is functional, what is that to the right of them? Are those, is that a candlestick?
Mm-hmm.
Got like a plant growing out of it at the bottom.
Yeah.
Do you think this is in Julie Chen Moonves's house?
No, I don't think so. I think that the plants are in front of the candlestick. I don't think that they are.
Okay.
They're attached.
Looks like they're, yeah. It looks like they're, it's growing out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's beautiful.
All right. Let's hear from the second question for Memphis.
Question two, what was your thinking behind creating two alliances that were both named the Wise Guys?
Two Wise Guys alliances. How did Memphis come up with this, Jenny?
Maybe he dreamt about it. I don't know. He's pure genius.
Pure genius. Let's hear about the inspiration of two versions of the Wise Guys.
So the idea with the double overlapping Wise Guys was, well, there's two parts. One, I didn't want to confuse Enzo. You name two things and him accidentally call one another and another another. So I thought maybe that would work out and help me. But other than that, it was just for shits and giggles, to be honest with you. I just thought it was funny.
Hilarious.
I have a big respect for doing things for shits and giggles. So that's relatable. I mean, if he's concerned about like the confusion of two different alliance names, like, couldn't he have come up with like a different alliance name that like he wasn't going to have to like shoehorn it with Christmas? Like we all saw when she was like, wise guys,
yeah.
I'm not a guy, and it's like, it's just a saying, it's a phrase. Mm-hmm. like he, all it needed was like just a couple more seconds of thinking.
That was the giggles part. And then I'll tell Christmas she's in an alliance called the Guys and she's not a guy, so it'd be hilarious. Yeah. Okay.
Great explanation.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. All right. Question number three for Memphis.
All right. Question three. Is there any move or decision you made in this game that you wish you would have done differently?
Memphis is always drinking a lot of coffee. For a guy who's does not seem highly caffeinated. A lot of coffee.
It's all he can do to keep himself to stay up until 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's literally the only way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What's the question for Memphis?
Anything you would do differently?
Oh, differently. Okay. Yeah. What, any regrets, Memphis?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing major that I would change in my game. I had a plan. I wanted to stick with it. Obviously, you know, maybe vetting Enzo a little bit more probably would have helped my game. Having more communication with him before offering him up, you know, this alliance that basically would protect him to the end. But other than that, no, that would probably be the one thing, vetting out Enzo a little bit more.
What does he mean vetting Enzo? Are we going to check his references?
I don't understand what he means by
that. He was a crayon salesman. He worked at the Bayonne Nipple Factory.
Is this one of those scenarios where I don't know that Memphis is sure that vetting is the word that he wants to use there. Yeah. I love how he's like stroking his like invisible like goatee or beard. Like he has no facial hair there that I can see. But like after the question was asked, he was like, like he like really gets into this like persona of like, let me think about this.
Yeah. Jenny, I'm also getting the vibe here that Memphis is putting down a lot of Enzo is a dumb, dumb vibes.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes.
Not think that Enzo is going to be getting the vote from Memphis.
Yeah, we can't confuse Enzo, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't handle two different names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I do think that part of Memphis's MO here was also then he made an alliance called the Commission, and then he made another alliance called the Committee. I think he likes, for whatever reason, like I feel like that he's you know, I that his pets are probably all named like Bill, Billy, Billy Bob. Like,
he's got, what is he, has a son named River, like maybe the next one will be Riverdale.
River,
like just versions of that.
Call the Gargoyle King.
Or maybe if he has another child, he'll also just name it River. So
Rivers.
Enzo doesn't get confused. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect. Is that what George Foreman did? Did he want to get confused?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Then, all right. Question number four for Memphis. This question is about Memphis's feelings about David.
Why did you consider David to be such a big target for you in the game?
Yeah. Why was he so hung up on David?
It about that?
Yeah. I feel like there was that from the jump. He said, David's got to go. What was it about David?
So David, coming into the game, David's the only player that I didn't watch, and I had no idea what his game was. He was very short. He had a short lifespan in his season. He was in and out. I watched when he was, but I couldn't really get a grasp of his game. The rest of the
Wait, did he watch his season or he didn't watch his season?
I don't know if he's saying that he like that if he's trying to allude to the fact that David wasn't on the show very long or wasn't playing very long, or is that he just like didn't watch him? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Not clear.
He said he started that. I didn't watch his hand,
I didn't watch
and then,
him.
And then he wasn't on for very long. And so I didn't see what he was doing.
Players I've seen the way they play. I've seen the way they act, I've seen their DRs. And I've seen them compete. So David was that one person that I hadn't seen. And for me in this game, that was a huge wild card just to have floating around the house. So that was my concern with David.
Okay. Then we have one more question for Memphis. And I wanted to get in one question about asking about Christmas.
Yes.
How do you have, what kind of alliance did he have with Christmas?
Wise guys.
Question, how strong was the alliance that you formed with Christmas?
I think that was a big sigh.
Yeah. That was a big exhale.
Yeah.
Was that like an exhausted sigh, or is it like a how do
longing
I frame
for
this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right. Here's what Memphis has to say about Christmas.
I think the alliance that I formed with Christmas, I think it was strong. I felt good about that alliance. I feel like we had each other's backs. You know, you can't trust people too much in this game, but at the same time, you have to trust people. So I like to think that it was really good. I would have liked to seen her pull off the back door against Cody and us go with that version of the wise guys. It probably would have worked out better for me. But I think it was strong. You know, who I won't know until I watch the season, I guess.
Okay, there you go. The great Memphis Garrett.
Wow.
Okay.
I feel like I learned so much.
Yeah. You know, you only get so much from these taped interviews, but it's good to have them. It's fun going through them this way. Okay. All right. Then you want one more Memphis clip before we close the book on Memphis.
All right.
Okay. Jenny, this week we had our BB Comics coming to be a part of Big Brother 22. Were you disappointed with the BB Comics?
That's an understatement. What has happened here? Like, the art has gone downhill.
Yeah.
The concepts, the creative concepts.
Yeah.
Deep, deep downhill. Mm-hmm. There's always a few misses. It's just like Zingbot. You know what I mean? There's like a couple good ones and there's a couple weak ones. They're not always like home runs, but I just felt like this season, even the ones where like the concept was like something I could kind of understand, the artwork was so weird compared to previous years. I feel like if you look back at like the first couple of years of BB Comics, like there's some really good ones that, like, you know, the house guests would probably like, you know, put on their social media with pride. I feel like at this point, like, everyone's like, hide this. Like, have you taken a moment and looked at the meow meow? That is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. And I am a cat lover.
Like, yes. Well, why? What was so bad about the meow meow?
Everything. It's terrifying. It's absolutely his fate. I don't know. It looks like he's been stretched. Mm. Like, it's like this weird. They made him like really ripped, which was like, I guess maybe
the choice.
You know, that was like what they were trying to help the fact that they absolutely jacked up his face and like made these terrifying like ears on him. Like, honestly, that will give me nightmares for years to come. Yeah. It was terrifying.
Okay. Here's the meow meow.
Look at his face. Why is it so long?
It's got a long face. You know what I find the most grotesque thing about this is that don't let this cat get your tongue. Why is the meow meow? He rips your tongue out of your mouth. This is like some sort of like Freddy Krueger-esque kill here. Like, he's pulled his tongue 2 feet out of his mouth.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's nightmare fuel. And they're not even showcasing his lovely feet. Like, what a misstep, you know?
Yeah. Don't let this cat get your tongue. And what does the meow meow have on his head?
I think it's one of his, like, weird hats that is just like...
Looks like underwear with his ears sticking out.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I thought that it was like, you know, those weird buff things that he wears where it's like, if you get, cause you can tell that he like wears hats all the time because like, he's like balding.
Yes.
And, he has like one where it's like, it's almost like the sleeve of a t-shirt that he cut off.
Yeah.
And he just like puts that on his head. But like, if the camera gets him from like a certain angle, it's like, it's literally a tube to like his bald spot.
Yeah. I've heard it described like, as in Home Alone when Marv and Harry are trying to break into the house. And then, Kevin McAllister has like the blowtorch that goes through Harry's beanie and then ultimately like burns his head. And then the top of the hat is burnt off and then he has like a bald head underneath.
Do you think that that's how it became a style? I don't know. I don't understand where you get one of these things. I assumed it was a buff. This is another thing I've never.
Oh,
what is it about the Big Brother house and bandanas? Like, this season, Kevin wore a bandana all the time.
Yeah.
Tyler always wore one. We see Cody wearing them all the time. What is it?
Well, I think in the case of a couple of the house guests, of the Kevins and the Enzos, that I feel like that you see Tony also with this look, Jeremy Collins, that I think that they're, for men of a certain age, that it's a good look that hides a perhaps retreating hairline. That and someday if I ever wear a buff again, I think you'll probably see me bandana style most of the time.
I understand it on Survivor because they literally are given buffs that they need to wear. So that's an obvious, spot for a man to wear it. I don't understand where these, like, people are showing up at the Big Brother house with numerous collar bandanas. I just, like, I don't
it's a
know.
Party. It's a party. Okay.
I mean,
so fun.
I'm fine with it. I just want to know. I just want to understand how this became such a thing.
Yeah.
Because it used to be Dan. It was Dan with the red bandana. And now yes. everyone's got a. Maybe that's why. Maybe you think that you get a power from it or something.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
I think that Dan is a Karate Kid guy. I think that he was like trying to bring some Big Daniel son energy to the house.
Fair okay. enough.
So we were started talking about Memphis, okay? Memphis was the Memphist. That was his BB comic. And so he had this to say. This was a clip pulled on the Twitter from the great at Power of Cheeto 2, who pulls a lot of great clips from the BB house. Here is Memphis musing about some merchandising opportunities for the Memphist. Here we go. Here is a.
Yep, there he is. The Memphist.
I think I'm going to take that.
Okay, this is totally probably not cool to say on live feeds, but I'm going to say anyway. I'm going to take that entire comic and I'm going to make some sex toys from it.
Yeah.
You know, but everything's going to be in a fist form.
In a fist form.
It's going to be like Memphis.
Yes. That's yeah.
So
you know you've done something wrong when Enzo is just like, yeah,
yep.
That's a thing that you just said. Mm-hmm. Like, has nothing to say back to that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you did just say that. Okay.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Okay.
I just feel like that. Can we just listen back to this one more time? Just
absolutely.
Because really doesn't like I understand what he's going for, but it really makes no sense what he's saying here.
Yep, there he is. The Memphist.
Memphis.
I'm
gonna take that entire comic and I'm gonna make some sex toys from it.
When he says, I'm going to take that entire comic and I'm going to make sex toys from it, what does that mean?
I'm guessing he means like the whole like branding of the comic.
Yeah. This whole storyline.
The whole storyline of the comic.
Is going to be adapted.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And then.
Yeah. You know, but everything's going to be in a fist form.
In a fist form.
It's going to be like Memphis.
And everything is going to be in a fist form. He's losing me here. What is the everything?
He says a line.
A line.
He's going to make a line of sex. So it's so like
it's assorted things that are
all
fists. Which
fists of different sizes of different
things?
Textures.
Like I don't understand where else he's going with this.
He's. I don't know. He's got ideas.
And he's like, get it? Memphis. Get it? Get it?
As if he just came up with concept.
Like, the comic was literally Memphis.
Memphis.
Yeah.
Get it, guys?
Hilarious. So hilarious for...
Shits and giggles right there.
Memphis. I was going to work on doing a bit about some other BB-inspired adult novelties that could hitting the market. But the only one that I came up with was the almost lifelike, real-life-size Dr. Will. Oh, wait, no, that's actually Dr. Will.
So it's like a sex doll?
Yes. Laminated. But no, it's actually Dr. Will. It's not. You're like, oh, look at that. That plastic doll looks just like a life-size Dr. Will. Like, oh, it actually. Oh, it is Dr. Will. Okay.
Well, there could be something with the Meow Meow comic. Did you see how far that tongue goes?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
swinging around. Okay. All right. And, you know, speaking of e-commerce, let me take a moment and thank our other sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Honey, the browser extension, which saves you money. You get Honey on your computer for free, and in two easy clicks, you could be saving money. Go to joinhoney.com/RHAP to save money on all your purchases. Whether you're on the MemphisGarrett.com store or many other fine retailers, there's always that little promo box. It's such a tease of there's a way that you could unlock to potentially save some money. But if you only knew what the code was, you could Google a bunch of things and now you have a virus on your computer because you went to all these websites. That's where Honey comes in, because it's the browser extension which is going to boop, 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 crack the code and get you. If there's a code out there, Honey's going to find it and plug it in and start saving you money. It's any online shopper's best friend. I use it all the time and I love it whenever it starts cycling through all those different codes, saving me money if there's a code out there to use. When you're checking out on over 30,000 supported sites, Honey pops up in the browser. Boom. And all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds. Honey's going to search and cycle through all the codes that could potentially work and find the one that's going to save you the most money. I really love this for a lot of sites where if you're sending gift baskets, I've used it for sending flowers, especially at this time of year, if you're going to start having holiday cards printed, any big retailer that's out there that you can find these codes and you could be saving 15, 20, sometimes 25%. And that's money that you would have otherwise spent if you didn't have the Honey browser extension set up. Honey has found its 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings, and Honey supports all kinds of retailers from tech and gaming sites to fashion brands, even food delivery. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP. Jay, we have a guest here stopping by to talk with us about some Big Brother slop. Here is the great fellow Canadian. Here is Grace Leader is here. Grace, how are you?
Good. How are you both doing?
Doing fantastic, Grace. What's new?
I was so nervous. I'm here. I like have my coffee. I like was almost wearing a denim shirt. I was worried about, I had to take down the giant clock from behind me.
Yes.
Do you have any like plant candlestick combos?
No.
Yeah, Grace, Memphis is really embodying the spirit of Gene Hackwoman in the Memphis attire for this season. That was a cutest drag character.
Sue for copyright infringement.
Yes, that was really a cutest vision. Memphis has brought it to life. Grace, how are you doing?
I'm doing, actually, you know, I haven't been doing that well. I've had some, in the words of Stephen Fishak, some gastro
problems,
but nothing cures that like the slop. So.
Yeah, you'll be backed up in no time. Don't worry.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes. Grace, any thoughts as we're here at the final four of Big Brother 22?
I mean, I really, when you're talking about that, there's 2 weeks left. I don't, you know, that's a long time for these, you know, the last four people in the house. But I don't know. It's we'll see how it all sort of plays out. I know we talked about that. You'll get into spoilers in a bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. The final, the end game, people trying to maneuver when there's not much room to maneuver, sometimes can be pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's really nothing sometimes. Like the Marvel Cinematic Universe end game, which is hundreds of characters. We've really stretched this as far as we can, but with only four characters. Really become a real showcase for these four dynamic personalities that are left in the house. But Grace, that it is a big campaign season, at least here in the U.S., that you had an idea about talking about the a different vote that's coming up, the America's Favorite Player competition, which is ramping up. And we tend to see some campaigning that goes on here at the end of these seasons. And you would imagine that with everybody so hyper-focused on voting right now, that America's Favorite Player is going to be more fierce than ever.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. My Twitter feed is, you know, blowing up. There's an important vote that needs to happen. We need to, you know, get people out to vote for America's favorite player.
Yes. Okay.
I think that everyone's more invested in the result of that than the result of the actual game at this point. So.
Yes, that's true.
Now, Jenny, are Canadians able to vote for America's favorite player?
I don't think so. We usually can't vote. That. Yeah. I mean, I would like to, but if anyone wants, I don't know. I don't know how to.
If someone wants to vote on your behalf, yeah, someone has no vested interest.
If any neutrals want to, you know, consult with me, I'm happy.
Those undecided voters.
Yeah, those are the ones.
You got to reach the undecideds. Okay, well, yeah. Maybe there is a big group of undecided voters for America's favorite player. And so, Grace, that... it was a fun idea that you had to talk through maybe the campaign strategies for some of the different players for this season.
Yeah, campaign slogans too. I had some help from the Rob is a Podcast class of 2020.
Oh, good.
Had some really good ideas. The chat was on fire last night. So I don't know. Where do you want to start? Should we start with a particular player?
Yeah, well, let's start with maybe the campaigns of the players that are still in the game.
Okay.
They've had the most screen time. What about Cody, where Cody seems to be a lock for the final two at this point, barring a complete disaster this weekend? But if not, does Cody have a campaign for America's favorite player?
Yeah, I think I think it used to be that if you made the final two, maybe you couldn't be America's favorite player. But I know Tyler did win a few years ago. But there was a suggestion that maybe Cody's campaign slogan is just "You have to vote for Cody because Derek said so." There wasn't much Cody love in the chat. Not sure how much I don't know what he could do to improve his campaign. I don't think the ragging on Kacer from the other night is going to particularly help his cause.
Not great.
What about if you don't vote for Cody, Derek will arrest you?
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to really put him over the edge. Jenny, what do you think about this? Going back to something from early in the season about Cody. The world does revolve around him, Cody.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
That's good.
Sort of like it is all about you, Cody.
Yeah.
And we just have to accept it and just vote for Cody for America's favorite player.
Yeah. Hey, the world revolves around me, okay?
I can't argue with what the world wants to do. Mm-hmm. If it's going to revolve around him, then you just have to let it go on its course. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Maybe Cody and you, the viewer, we have a final two. All right. So Cody, we'll see if that works. What about for Enzo? Does Enzo have a shot at this race?
I think there's Enzo sort of in that second tier of people who might be able to do it to win America's Cup. I don't quite think he's there. I don't think he's had enough of sort of like a flashy game. Some of the suggestions we had was put your best foot forward and vote for Enzo. Enzo could also maybe use the money so he could upgrade his TV. I know he wanted he was talking about or a motorcycle or
a couple more inches.
That could help. Okay. So if Enzo think about what he could do with $10,000. I mean, he could hit 90 inches for $25,000.
I'm really liking vote for Enzo, help him get a couple more inches. And just leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
It speaks for itself.
Certainly the foot stalker is going to be on board for that.
Absolutely.
What about Christmas? Does Christmas have a shot at America's favorite player?
I was trying to look at other campaign slogans or things from previous.
Well, it's got
to
be holiday campaigns. Yes.
Well, the one thing I would say is, you know, there was that Obama picture that said hope. I think Christmas would just say nope. I'm not sure that would help her campaign. Maybe she'd be going for an ironic thing. I mean, Christmas, America's favorite player win would probably be pretty 2020. Be on brand.
Christmas Abbott for America's favorite player. Hey, it's 2020.
We're the most fitting person who could win.
Yeah,
I can almost come up with more anti-Christmas AFP campaigns where it's
you're the opposition. Yeah,
COVID 19 Christmas is canceled. Like, you know, like no Christmas this
Christmas
year.
Christmas is canceled doesn't help the cause here.
No, we're talking. We're,
that's why you're, it's the opposite.
You're, it's like when you see like attack ads. This isn't attack. Yeah. Oh, for the other players.
Oh, they can use this. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Faith in the chat says, do they... On- Yes, go
if
ahead, Grace.
Money on Christmas attack ads, I think you might be wasting.
Yeah, the war on Christmas. Yes.
Yes. Ooh, love that.
Faith says, do they know it's Christmas time at all?
No.
Okay. All right. And then Nicole. And then Nicole, yeah, had, she has a whole team on the ground.
Yeah, so there's a few suggestions that were thrown out from the class of 2020. So we have Don't Be a Mother Fricker, but for Nicole.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jenny. A couple of guys and a couple of votes for America, for Nicole.
Okay.
A couple of guys and a couple of votes.
Yeah, I don't know. This is, you know. We can't let Janelle have everything. Vote Nicole for America's Favorite Play. Yeah, okay. And I lost all my sponsors. I need the money. Nicole.
Yeah, okay. That's something. That's something. We're maybe play for the sympathy of, because she lost sponsors, that she can go ahead and get some people back on board. Yes.
Or like if she wins AFP, you'll get an invite to her wedding or something like that.
Hashtag happily engaged. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but that Victor will grow his hair back if you vote
oh
for
me. Oh my
god.
That is honestly like probably her best angle.
Okay. Well, there are a few people that made the jury that are, you know, big contenders for this. What about Tyler? Does Tyler have a slogan?
I'm not sure anybody had. Well, they're a vote for me. Angela said she'd dump me if I didn't bring home any money. Although I don't think after last night, they look pretty happily ever.
They are so in love. Jenny, in love. That as someone in a, you know, new romance, that do you feel any pressure to, you know, be as affectionate as Tyler and Angela are?
I have always found their relationship to be very strange. I think this is just like, you guys kind of touched on this already, but this is like the first time that I've felt even I felt more emotion from Angela than I've ever seen. I don't follow them very closely on social media, but I'll just say this. If I were ever to go on Big Brother Canada, Phil T would be an absolute disaster. He would be, he's got this tough guy persona, but he would be an absolute disaster. He can hear me right now. That's just fine. But I'm a hopeless romantic. I love a good love story. Tyler literally almost quit his game so he could go home to her. So, you know, power to them. I'm glad they're happy making jewelry or whatever they do. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And a cookbook.
And making nice recipes together.
That was the other one. Someone said Tyler for FP, someone has to pay for Angela's cookbook.
Okay. What about Davon? Does she need any help?
I don't think Davon needs any. I think Davon is the front runner for America's Favorite Player. I think Janella and Kacer could have got some momentum, but they're just gone too soon. And Davon, you know, been in the jury, but she's been on, you know, in these jury segments. So I don't know. Davon for AFP, the only good thing to happen in 2020. Probably.
Yeah. Okay. What about Danny Donato? Danny Briones, I should say.
Yeah. I don't think anybody had anything for Danny. I don't think Danny is up there. I don't know what she could sort of do. I think she has been, you know, being in the jury house, she's been playing sort of the, like, I'm not mad if Tyler comes in, like, you know, it's fun, you know, so I think that, you know, I think people kind of like that, but I don't know if she has a shot at America's Favorite Player.
I mean, I'm all for giving her any sort of money, like, I'm sure any sort of therapy for having her father is probably expensive. So
she should play that up more. Right.
Yeah. She really should. She'd be like, have you seen
my father is?
Yeah. That's an expensive therapy.
Do you have social media? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you aware?
Right.
Are you aware
of him?
Yeah. Imagine this. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Then what about Kevin?
Kevin
have a shot at this?
I don't think so. I don't think people were loving sort of the his like kind of whininess. Even my mom was like, Kevin, he just cries too much. But you were thinking maybe he could say that you know, the world doesn't, or think about how much I need the money. The world doesn't revolve around you, America. I don't know if maybe hitting America, insulting them is the best way to get their votes.
Yeah. Or like it's time for the world to revolve around me.
Yeah. Let's make it about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he could just say, hey, there. I was friends with Devon. Yeah. Remember? Yeah. Okay. I need a vote. Yeah. Thank you, Doom Tribe. I think that's probably the best one so far. Okay. Well, what about David? Does David have a shot at this?
Someone suggested David's campaign slogan would be, what is AFP?
Yeah.
Don't be a rookie. Vote for David.
Don't be a rookie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think David has a shot at it.
Okay. All right.
What about like Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yes. And maybe David's dad could be out there stumping for David. We love David's dad.
Yeah. And the dog as well.
The dog. Like, the dog and the dad.
Yeah.
The dog. Dog, dad, David. Yeah.
Yeah. The dog, dad, David. Yeah.
3D. Okay. 3D. Okay. Then let's see. Anybody else that's on? Ian. What about Ian?
I just had to make sure Ian Terry dinosaurs to the top because he had his dinosaur
puppet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not much. I don't know.
Okay. Jenny, you had something interesting note about Ian from last night's episode. Do you want to set that up?
So I loved hearing from Ian's girlfriend. I still don't know what her name is. I love seeing, like, I really do love the emotional moments. I am a sucker. I'm a hopeless romantic, as I said. So it was nice to see. I feel like, you know, Ian's had a rough go this season, first juror. And he had talked a lot about not wanting to go to the jury house and how hard it was going to be. So I think that this message from home was very helpful for him. She called him some sort of pet name. I have no idea what it was. I think I know what she says, but I have no idea what it means.
Let's listen back to that. Here is Ian's girlfriend sending her love to Ian in the jury house.
Hi, Hutchpot. I miss you so, so much.
Okay. Hutchpot?
I believe after listening to it a couple times, and it looks like a few people on Reddit heard the same thing. I think she's saying Hunchball.
Hunchball.
All right, here it is. And then I Googled it, and I don't know what that is.
Here
we go.
Here it is. One more time.
Hi, Hutchball. I miss you so, so much.
Hutchpa. Also, there was is that Klingon?
I truly have no idea. And I searched like Hunchball, like what is it? And it's like someone's like gamer name or something. So I'm like, is this Ian's like, how
is it his Reddit
like
handle?
Their,
yeah.
Like who knows?
Did you just dox him?
I know. I'm like, this
his anonymous gamer tag has been.
Yeah. Revealed. Hedge fund.
I heard Hutzpah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe if Ian gets AFP, he'll reveal what his secret identity is.
Hutchball for AFP.
Hodgepodge. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Here, one more time.
Hi, Hutchball. I miss you so, so much.
Hutchball. Yeah.
I think there's a ball at the end. Hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know how earlier they were? I guess he's out of the game, so he doesn't need secret messages, but maybe who to vote for. But maybe this is like Tommy's dad was talking about trying to send a secret message. Maybe it's like, what's Hutchball? What does it mean?
For like who you should vote for.
Gonna unscramble it.
Yeah.
Smart. Grace, what about some of the pre-jurors? Does Janelle have a shot at AFP?
I think Janelle could have a shot. Maybe she might be, I think she maybe even could be one of the top three. I think she definitely has a shot. Just, I think her slogan just be, it's Janelle. Someone suggested that if she could buy out the hotel that Nicole is having run in, she wins America's Favorite Player.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She should then use that money and basically bump Nicole's wedding.
Yeah, bump Nicole's wedding.
She should have a competing party there.
Yeah, that actually would be great. I think that Davon really benefits from the Jacer vote being split, because not only did, you know, Janella and Kacer both go earlier than her, but I think that, you know, the vote is split between them, and so that only helps Davon even more, which I personally am happy about.
What about Kacer? We saw him come back last night. That could help his campaign.
Yeah, crown the king, Kacer. Mm-hmm. I think being on last night, I think, might help. But again, I just think anybody who is out pre-jury is, I think, maybe for the more casual viewers who are going to be voting, maybe a bit out of sight, out of mind.
Mm.
I feel like in a regular season, that might be the case where we don't get to know them. But in an all-star season, at least, especially with two, you know, pre-jurors that have played multiple times, like if anyone could do it, it is Janelle and Kacer. But again,
you know,
the
what?
Splitting of the vote.
In terms of Janelle and Kacer, I don't suspect that either of them are particularly hurting for $25,000. I'm sure, look, anybody could use that kind of money, but that I feel like that they're out of the house. They can read the room. I think that if they were to endorse Davon for America's Favorite Player, and almost ensure that like a Nicole doesn't get it or a Tyler doesn't get it, I think that that would probably be the best move for them.
Yeah, they got to drop out of the race.
They got to drop out of the race, and endorse.
For the greater good,
before Super Tuesday, when the voting closes, yes. Okay. Yeah. What about Nicole Anthony?
I don't think Nicole, again, it's just like she's out of the house. So her comic name was the Podmaster, right? So maybe it could be subscribe and give 5 stars for Nicole to be America's favorite player.
That's one podcast I will not listen to.
Yeah. That's the slogan for this podcast.
See, I was wondering, I mean, I think that the one thing that maybe these people who are out pre-jury have a bit of an event, they could be campaigning on for America's Favorite Player on Twitter, but it's a bit of poor taste to be campaigning for it.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen more people, you know, kind of like echoing for Davon than themselves at this point, or at least their supporters being like, so-and-so fans, like, vote for Davon instead. So, but maybe I'm just following all the right people. That could be, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, trapped in a media bubble that's reinforcing Davon for AFP.
What about Bailey? Is there a campaign for Bailey? Has Bailey endorsed Davon?
I haven't seen anything from Bailey, but again,
I thought it's a swaggy say to vote for Davon.
Yeah,
but
I feel like maybe I'm not following it that closely. Sense. Does Bailey say anything about Big Brother 22?
I don't follow her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see a lot of swaggy C tweets on my timeline, but I feel like they're mostly about the NBA.
Well.
Yeah.
More exciting.
Yes. He was very pumped up for the Lakers. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if she has a lot of BB 22 action. If not. Yes.
Did you guys hear one of the latest campaigners for Davon?
Who?
Zach Grants.
Oh, what did he say?
He came out of, like, he's been, like, very quiet on Twitter. And then, like, he hadn't tweeted in, like, almost a month. And, like, there was, like big lags between his last few tweets. And then out of nowhere, like, in the last week, he just posted this, like, second video where he just goes, Davon for AFP. It's very jarring, but
now is he anti Cody? Where does he post these things on
it's on
Instagram?
Twitter, on Rancy Pants? No, it's on Twitter.
Rancy well, maybe Pants. That's a name I haven't heard in some time.
It might be fake, but then he released the video.
No, it's there, and then he also like tweeted like a GIF of. Is this his actual account? He only has 7,000 followers. This seems wrong.
Yeah, and he's not verified, Rancy Pants.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Okay, maybe this is fake, but he's got followers. I don't know. Josh follows him. Kevin follows him.
Yeah. Here.
Derek
people are
follows.
Thinking maybe you have some voter fraud.
Yes. Oh, here's a video on his Twitter. Let's see. He's yelling something.
On for AFP. For Davon for AFP.
I don't know. Was this taken out of context?
I know. That was the thing I I was like, it's so like, it's such a quick cut that I'm like, is this some sort of like Frankenstein? Yeah, like
it's a deep fake.
I don't know what's going on.
I mean, it's 2020. I wouldn't put anything past the internet.
I'm not sure who was like, we got to get Zach Rantz. Like,
yeah, you know what would
fake
really
a conspiracy theory to get Zach Rantz to get Devon voted.
I don't know if this is a Renap episode or what, but I feel like that the rise and fall of Zach Rantz would be a great. Maybe I'm going to make that as the next like off season podcast. Let me see if I get Lindsay Wilson on board
the
to
oral
produce
history
this.
Of Zach Rantz. Yeah,
he's not in it either. It's like we're just like
these weird clips that we've stolen. Yeah.
You're not going to have him at the end, like with the big reveal of what
maybe,
he's doing.
Maybe we'll have an interview with him at the end. But yeah. I feel like that the Zach Rantz documentary, I think, would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to this guy?
I want it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought he would, like, at the end of that season, he might be a lock for when they do a returning season.
Oh, I think there's drama.
Yeah. Season. I think that the drama was, I mean, I think that he was, like, locked in to be on The Amazing Race, like, right after. And I think that he was just, like, a really overplayed. He was such a nightmare to work with that they basically said, look, we don't want anything to do with you anymore. I think that's yeah, but we're gonna wait for the podcast documentary to come out.
Yeah,
so many questions to be answered.
Wow, Jenny, this just blew my mind. So this should be maybe this is what RHAP is gonna be now that there's no Survivor. That should we just be doing like long form documentary style, like almost like true crime podcasts of like what happened to Colleen Haskell? She was the America's sweetheart. But what happened to her?
I want the true story about Gina Marie's singing career. What happened there?
Yes.
You know, we can. Do we want to go into the? We love true crime. Do we want to talk about Adam Jasinski and?
I don't know. Here, hold on. Let me just let my assistant Dominic get Lindsay Wilson on the phone.
Okay. Let's go.
All right. Yes. All right. This is a billion-dollar idea. Yeah. We're reinventing the podcast game. Okay. What were we talking about? America's favorite player, Pish Posh.
Anyway, Zach Rantz.
We're getting in the documentary reality TV business. Maybe we can take this to Netflix. This is a billion-dollar idea.
Give it to CBS. I think Once Amazing Race is done.
Yeah, CBS.
Dominic,
get CBS All Access on the phone.
Right. He's got a direct line at this point, right?
Yeah. Bring a notepad. Okay.
Detective Dominic.
Grace, is there anybody else for AFP?
Well, I mean, did we talk about Memphis? Did we just totally forget about Memphis?
Memphis for AFP.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't take a wise guy to vote for Memphis for AFP.
Or three.
You don't have to break your back to vote for Memphis was one. And then apparently last night, I didn't know that this was his catchphrase, but vote for me, a-holes.
Yeah. Memphis full of dollars.
Get Memphis-ed.
Fun is Memphis sex toy line.
Oh boy. Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Now, let me. Are either of you Swifties? Are either of you Taylor Swift fans?
Okay. Here's my thing with Taylor Swift is that. Never been a big fan. I'm not a big like pop music person in the first place, but I've always been bothered by her. Like just deep within me, I've just been like, there's just something I don't like about this girl. And I'm just not a big fan of her music. Mm-hmm. I will say though, that her most recent album, Folklore, is actually I like it.
Okay.
So I can actually handle listening to it, but I would not like, I'm not one of those people that is like, and Swifties are very, very like devout fans I respect them. And I let you live your life. Please stay out of my mentions. I am not
a lot of crossover with the slop. Yes.
No yucking your yum. Mm-hmm. Yum away. It's not personally for me, but I do like her new album.
Okay. So, Grace, if I had to ask you, would you think that Enzo is a Taylor Swift fan?
I mean, nothing surprises me about Enzo, these little things that he reveals. So I would probably be like, yeah, he probably is.
Okay. I'd love to hear, Enzo, is this a hot take or cold take on Taylor Swift? This is from the live feeds. Let's hear Enzo's musings on Taylor Swift. Okay. Let's see. Here is the meow meow. Talking about the woman who starred in Cats. Okay.
Listen to Taylor Swift now. Come here. Fuck over.
Did you listen to it? Is it good?
No, it is good. There's a couple songs on it. It's good. Yeah, yo. Yeah. She's just always depressed and upset. Like, yo, can someone just not cheat on this girl? Can this girl find a good guy, yo?
I know. It's all that she's talking about. I'm like,
so she's like, I've been here before. I don't trust him. And I'm like, holy shit. What happened, Taylor?
Yeah, this chick has been screwed over.
Yeah, man.
Is this a current take on Taylor Swift, or are these just two older gentlemen doing 10-year-old Taylor Swift material?
There's nothing we need more than, you know, two white men pushing 40 and 50, you know, commenting on Taylor Swift's state of mental health and her success with men.
Well, at least they were real. They were like, she's just gonna find a nice guy. So
yeah, where are they? We know they're nice out men. There. Oh. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That chick has been screwed over.
Yeah, but Enzo says the new album pretty good. He recommends it.
Couple good songs.
And he's in the music industry.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a music mogul. He's Dwight Squall. Okay. All right. Are you interested? I've got one other live feed clip to play for you. So Cody has a superpower that not just Calif-furious, that he is able to be an expert profiler, where Cody's able to look at a person's picture and he has the ability to be able to tell what this person does for a living. And he demonstrates that by visiting the memory wall and then giving his ace assessment of what everybody in the memory wall would be if he did not know them.
Did he pick up this skill from Derek as well?
Yes. I think he learned this from Derek. So, Chris, they say you can't judge a book by its cover. Cody can.
You can. I think that sounds like a fun game. I think, I like it.
Okay. All right.
I think he's been in the house for a long time. I think they might be running out of things to do.
They're running out of things to do. Okay.
We're talking about teapots at this point. Like, at this point, they're very bored.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Cody's going to go to the memory wall and give us his first impression of all the house guests.
That's what you can do. Go through everybody's and say what, like, well, this is what I do. This is what I do.
Okay. All right. First up.
I'll sell your house in 2 weeks.
That's Janelle. He looks at Janelle's picture. That's a person that could sell your house in 2 weeks.
Wow. And he got that just her photo.
Nailed it.
And also living in a house with her.
He sells the Big Brother house.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You laugh.
Promise you.
All right. Tyler. All right. Tyler. He looks at his picture and he says,
This dude is with your girl right now.
No, he's not.
No, absolutely not.
Tyler is Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so.
What he looks like, stud.
Okay.
Davon.
What?
All right.
Yeah, this is not great. Yeah. Cody's first impression of if he did not know Davon and saw her picture.
Sneaky. Davon's like, I don't know. Fuck with me and I'll kill you. That's what she's saying right there.
Yeah.
Keisha.
Okay. What about Keisha? No comment. Keisha. Cody's first impression of Keisha is?
It's just like a school teacher. Oh, I teach your son in the third grade. He's so nice. Ian is fixing your computers.
Yeah.
David. I don't know. He's chilling. He's chilling, I guess.
He looks like a coach in that picture to me.
Coach? Yes, you know,
he's like a coach.
He teaches PE. That's it.
He's a PE teacher.
Coach.
Babe, I need like the mashup of David and coach now. Like, not a coach, just David as coach from Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great. They would hit it off.
Dragon Slayer.
Yes.
Bay looks like a supermodel.
Yeah.
She looks like, everybody smile, take your kitty photos.
Who is that?
I think what? Nicole Anthony. Your I mean, kitty photos?
He's making it.
There was no segue there.
Yeah.
He's making it like.
She's yeah. taking your picture.
He's making it like he's going off of a first impression, but he's really just going off of like that if he had like a puppet of each person, like what they're saying.
Kevin is.
He's got nothing. Just moves on.
I don't know. Dan sings country music for sure. For yeah. sure. And Kaser
literally
wrote
nice
like how to make a computer. And that's what
he really nice. Like, yeah. Like his eyes are smiling.
How to yeah. make a
how
computer?
To make a computer.
He wrote it. Is that a book? Like, I don't understand.
No, no.
I feel like he went up to the wall.
Cody has a
like,
gift.
I got a couple good bits. I got a couple of, and then he like overshot them and he's like, I'll do them all. I'll figure them out as I go. And then he could not figure them out as he
how to make a computer.
I know that Cody is an actor, but I question whether he's ever taken classes in improv.
No, he does not seem like an improviser.
No.
Realized as he was like halfway through each a bunch of them that he could very well get in trouble for what he thought he might say. Mm-hmm. So he's like, we'll just go with computer. Yeah. He can build a computer.
Kaser can build the computer and Ian can fix the computer. Yeah, I get the sense Cody doesn't know a lot about computers.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me see. I've got. Jenny, that I'm so excited that you're here for more talk about the Big Brother house guest Dreams.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. This Love has been Dreams. A recurring segment we've had here on the slop here in the second half of the season. And we have a great listener who is named Hayden. He goes by hashtag Dreamcatcher now. And he has been sharing with me the dreams of the house guest. He is at Red Lightning BB. If you want to follow all of his thoughts on the season, we have some more dreams and they are Christmas related, but Grace, luckily not a lot of kidnapping talk this week.
Let's get moving away from the kidnapping.
Okay.
That's good.
All right, here we go. This is from earlier this week. A question or a dream from Christmas. Christmas had a dream that they all got drunk together at a taco shop. While they were waiting for their food, Christmas bought a round of shots for the table. Jenny, is there a lot of drinking that goes on at taco shops?
I mean, it depends on what is like what you determine a taco shop. Like,
yeah.
Is it a Mexican restaurant, like a sit down with that's licensed, or is it like more of like a takeout type, like, you know, order at the front and take your food to go? Like when I would hear taco shop, that doesn't sound very like licensed restaurant to me, but mm-hmm.
I think it's where you go in to get your tacos fixed.
Yes, yes.
Gotta get the taco shop.
I just gotta do a quick and I gotta go to the taco shop.
Kaser wrote the book of how to build a taco. Ian is gonna fix it. Okay.
The taco shop.
So, yeah, all right.
But, I mean, the tequila, like if you have alcohol there, you have a round of drinks, maybe some margaritas, mm-hmm. if it is a actual licensed restaurant.
Yeah. And Weed Brain in the chat shop. Says 100% taco shops and drinking go together. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, it works for me. I'm in.
All right. So, Christmas and everybody getting drunk at a taco shop while they're waiting. Christmas bought a round of shots for the table. She shared a shot with Nicole. Christmas dropped her flip flop and screamed, "Why can't I have my shoe?" Then someone threw the flip-flop at her. Someone's parents were there, too. They went to this place near the beach, and Christmas went shopping. Later, she was driving a souped-up Trans Am throughout the city. She says it was New York. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Really? Who throws a shoe?
How do you share a shot with another person? Like, I thought the whole point of a shot is, like, you take it all in one shot. Like, are her and Nicole both putting their lips up to the same shot glass and, like, taking the shot together? That sounds messy.
It's like if we're at a taco shop, I'm like, Jenny, I'm full. You want to just share the shot?
Yeah.
I can't quite finish it. You want to share it?
I can only do a little bit. Like, and also, are you able to just take half the shot and then just, like, pass it over and be like, you finish this for me? I don't understand how one shares a shot. A drink, maybe. A shot?
Yeah. Boy,
I'm wondering, like, is this a symbolism for something to do with, like, Nicole and Christmas Final 2, or, like,
they're sharing a shot. They're sharing a shot. Champagne.
Okay.
Well, Jenny, I feel like that you're here to give us the dream analysis here.
So the interesting thing about me is that I don't dream very often, or, like, obviously I probably do dream, but I don't remember. But I love listening to people's dreams. I know a lot of people think that is really boring, but I'm definitely trying to figure out, like, because there's always, like, something underlying, you know, that you can point to, like, some sort of insecurity or stress in your life that is causing you, and it's, like, manifesting in this form. And so I'm trying to figure out if this, like, Nicole and her shared a shot, does she feel like she is this some sort of, like, competition as, like, the last woman standing, and she can't have her shot herself, she's got to share it with Nicole or something like that, you know?
Do you think that, Grace, this could be a prophecy of when Christmas drops her flip-flop and screams, why can't I have my shoe? Do you think we have some sort of, like, clown shoe veto here at the Final Four?
Yeah, that would be interesting. And then she just keeps losing one of them. Although it seems like it's a flip-flop in the story. So.
Somebody's parents are there. Is that Cody and Nicole's moms?
Oh, wow. Okay, what is the flip-flop thing, like, is she dreaming about shoes? She broke, what was it, her ankle in BB9 or 19? So did she, I wonder, because people can have recurring dreams, or, like, as we know, like, Christmas, there's a lot of themes in her dreams. Like, is there something to do with, like, losing a shoe or a foot or something like that?
Or maybe she's thinking about sharing her shot with, she's going to share it with Nicole, but then she drops her flip-flop. She's thinking, should I flip-flop?
Is there something to, is it not a saying where, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's, like, lost the one flip flop. I don't know.
Okay.
And it says they drove a Trans Am.
Yeah, souped-up Trans Am.
Is that short for Trans American? Is that what Trans Am is?
I don't know. I'm not much of a car guy.
I just think it's ironic because I'm here and I'm a trans Canadian. So
is Trans Can a thing?
I don't think so.
Is that a vehicle?
That would be a great vanity plate.
There's the Trans Canadian Highway. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, it is. There is.
Yeah. Sorry, I just want to.
So, all right.
I'm trying to get set up for a trans joke, so I'm just
trying
to do that.
All right. Dream number two. This is from Christmas again. Christmas was babysitting for a stranger. The parents were supposed to return that night, but they didn't come back until 6:30 a.m. When they got back, they offered to take Christmas out to breakfast. Boy, these are some party parents. Like, they're out partying all night. Like, oh, yeah, we can't even sleep at all. Like, you want to go get some breakfast?
You want to go to the taco shop?
Yeah. They left one of the babies home alone sleeping, which bothered Christmas. But apparently the nanny was supposed to arrive soon. Boy, these people out partying all night. They've got Christmas babysitting, and then a nanny comes during the day?
This sounds like salamander next door having that crazy party. Otev.
Okay. So they left the baby home sleeping, which this is going to be a trigger for Christmas because most of her dreams involve Loyal being kidnapped. The mom walked outside and said, "We got treats." And by treats, she meant her batch of drugs.
Oh, okay.
So then,
well, pick me up in the morning.
They go out to breakfast and end up going to Target. Why does she always dream about Target? I'm not sure if that is Christmas asking aloud or if that is editorialized by Hayden the Dreamcatcher.
What do you think Christmas misses more, Loyal or Target?
Or something else. Yeah. So did she have breakfast at Target, Jenny?
Breakfast at Target sounds like the off-brand brand breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. And I said, what about breakfast at Target?
There used to be a little restaurant in the Sears, but you know they all got replaced by Targets, and Target went out of business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I would dream about Target. We only had Target for a short time here in Canada, yeah. And then it just disappeared.
Yep. Sorry, it wasn't Sears, it was Zellers.
Zellers. I used to work at Zellers.
The commenters will eat me up in the comments.
I will say that a lot of Targets have a Starbucks inside. It's possible that maybe...
It's true.
But you would think with all the drugs, you wouldn't need the coffee.
You don't need the caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a like interesting morning. Like breakfast at Target with a... batch of drugs, like just a regular, and the baby's sleeping.
Yeah, I do
home,
think this speaks a lot to Christmases. Like she's a bit
friend
of like
circle.
A bison or a follower, and she's just like, can you believe they left the baby at the house? It's just like going and checking on the baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me try these drugs. You got it.
What I like is that the mom walks outside and said, "We got treats," and by treats she meant her batch of drugs. Jenny, is this a Halloween dream?
No, it's Christmas's dream. Sorry, I even hate myself for that.
Yeah.
One.
Boy, a batch of drugs sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I feel like this is like one of those, like, I feel like Christmas maybe like, you know, buys in the conspiracy of like they're lacing like your children's Halloween candy with cocaine. Like, no one's wasting cocaine on your kids' Halloween candy at Christmas.
Yeah.
Those are my treats.
Boy, a batch of drugs sounds like you're getting into like Walter White territory. It's like I've got a whole batch of drugs.
Batch. Yeah, what's a batch? Is that like a measurement? I don't know.
I know since quarantine people are doing a lot of like home baking, but I don't know. No, a batch.
Well, that's like,
yeah, maybe they're just weed brownies or something.
Yeah, I guess those would be treats technically, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I've got a whole batch of drugs just came out of the oven. Shh, yeah. Don't wake up the baby. Hey, yeah, and yeah, after we've had our whole batch of drugs, weed brownies, boy, I sure am hungry. Want to head over to Target for some breakfast? Manny's coming. Yeah. Okay. One other dream for Christmas. Okay. And this one is about Christmas, who she has run out of gas while driving, but this time she's driving an old crappy convertible. She started walking to a gas station. On the way there, she kept falling into construction ditches. She's fallen into multiple ditches. Eventually, she filled her car up. On the way home, she bought a dirt buggy. And she drove the dirt buggy to a junkyard, which had a coffee place. She ordered a coffee.
Was the coffee place inside of a Target?
Yes. Yeah. So she dreams a lot about cars, a lot about coffee, a lot about kidnapping. So a lot of insight into Christmas.
I like the idea that she ran out of gas and then it's just like, better buy a new vehicle. Like, and just go fill up the old one.
Get the dirt buggy. Okay, again, I have to go back to trying to find out, like, what is the motivator? What is going on with Christmas psychologically where she's having these weird like things popping up in her dreams? So I got stuck on the construction ditches. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, what is a construction ditch in the first place?
Maybe they're doing some construction and then she's like walking in the hall.
I'm trying to visualize it, but the word construction stuck with me. I'm picturing like pylons. And again, the thing that came to mind was, remember Nicole's safety costume from BB18?
Yes.
Where she was essentially like a pylon or the safety person or whatever the hell it was.
That's the construction ditch.
Yeah, that she keeps falling into Nicole's trap.
Bye bye ditches.
Bye bye ditches. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's sharing shots with her. I think that there's something. She's got Nicole on her mind somewhere.
Oh, how about this also, Jenny? That we talked about this in the exit interview. But boy, doesn't Memphis always have that coffee cup?
Oh my God, she's
maybe the coffee symbolizes Memphis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just thought of something that Memphis could do with the Memphis.
No, Jenny, I'm sorry. We're out of time. Good night, everybody. Like, yes.
It's like a coffee cup that it's got the fist holding the cup already attached to it. And then it's like the mug just says Memphis.
Mm-hmm. How do you use that in sex?
I'm sure they'll figure it out. You don't fill up the coffee cup prior to you.
No. Yes. Okay. I'm not going. Okay. All right. Question for about Christmas. One of our listeners, Tara Renee, she wrote in to ask, Christmas said she named her baby Loyal so he knows family is always there for him. Can either of you explain this?
I mean, it would make more sense if she named her child like family or like
Family Abbott.
Yeah. I mean, her name is Christmas. Like, really, nothing is out of bounds at this point. I saw another tweet. Someone said something like, oh, Christmas, like named her son Loyal. And so now she always has a reminder about her, like her baby daddy cheating on her or something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Yeah. I feel like that was a little bit of a shot of like,
Certainly a shot. So I'm trying to figure out like, what does this mean with family? Like family will always be loyal to you. Like it just doesn't, I don't really understand which family. It. Well, yeah, exactly. And, yeah. I don't get it. Mm. Is loyal mean family in a different language or something?
I don't know.
Like
it's a
is there some sort of like Latin root that I'm not aware of.
Yeah.
The root is a different thing, but.
Okay. Actually I have one other, from Hayden, the dream catcher, that he says that, not sure if anybody mentioned it, but there's also this hashtag Laundrygate from this past week. Basically, when Memphis and Christmas talk during feed outages, many dreams were victims of quote unquote the laundry. A lot of people thought that it was code for something else. Memphis said he had two interesting dreams last night. Christmas asked, was it laundry? He laughed and said, yeah. So
I have a theory.
Yes. What do you think?
I do think this. Okay. So with this context, this definitely sounds like code to me, especially in relation to the dream. Oh, I had two dreams. And I think that when she says, oh, is it laundry? She's basically saying like, oh, did you have to do the laundry after? So
no, I think it's, is it dirty?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah. It's like a sexual dream.
Yes.
Yeah. So like, you know, I think that she's like insinuating like, oh, was there a nocturnal emission?
No, I think it's just,
I think it's just code. I think it might just be code.
I'll scale it back, I guess. And maybe it's just a dirty dream. But do you not like
nocturnal emission?
Do men have nocturnal emissions at that age? I don't know.
Hard to say.
Is it hard to say? Okay. Yeah.
His comic name was gonna be The Nocturnal Emission, but they changed it at the last.
The laundry list.
Yes. Okay. So
I think that is code though for some sort of like, you know, not for feeds dream.
Yeah.
I think so too. I mean, your laundry is dirty, so you're basically saying like, was it dirt? Was
yeah.
it dirty drink? Mm-hmm. So it's, was it laundry?
Okay.
You know, that would make sense for them to not want to share those dreams. If they're sharing the dreams in any other context, and, you know, Christmas is sharing dreams about, you know, kidnapping and leaving babies at home and batches of drugs, you'd think like we're sharing all sorts of dreams at this point. So you got to think that it is of some sort of not safer work or TV or whatever.
All right. Well, this is taking me down a rabbit hole. So I did a search here on Twitter for Christmas laundry hashtag BB22. No. Okay. All right. This is from the other day, Christmas in Memphis. Some other laundry talk. I've got a 13 second clip of Christmas in Memphis. More laundry talk.
Oh God.
Okay. All right. This is shared by somebody named Noah on Twitter. Okay. Here we go. Here is Noah's tweet.
A what?
Laundry.
Okay. I don't know if could you make that out? This is very subtle.
No. Barely.
Here, let me see if I can blow this up again. Okay.
I need to read lips here.
All right, here we go. So here's Memphis of Christmas. And this definitely seems like that there's something like untoward going on here.
What?
Long sip of the coffee for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Laundry.
Hmm.
So she looks.
It's
she
some
looks
sort
to
of
make
code
sure.
Word. Yeah.
Oh, it she definitely does, is because she does the like look back to make sure no one's watching her, and then she goes laundry.
Maybe it is nocturnal emission.
I mean, even if it isn't literally that, like, if they're saying like, oh, remember when you were like young and you'd have a dream and then you needed to ask your mom to do the laundry, like, you know what I mean, like.
I have a sense that maybe it's, I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the minorities being eliminated. Is it a code about separating your whites?
I don't think so. I don't think so. This is from this week. This is from this week. I don't think they need to talk this through.
All right. Well, you know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know. There's something going on with Christmas and Memphis and laundry. I don't know. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. All
right. Eternal Emission, isn't that in the News AF song?
Pretty sure it's
get
not.
Get Jason on the call.
All right. Jenny, anything else that you've been studying this cast that you want to talk about today?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I did this at the beginning and it's not really relevant, but I went through the astrology of everyone. I did their sun and moon signs.
Yes.
And I looked up positive and negative traits that came with those particular combinations.
Right.
And I found a couple of them interesting on whether they, you know, spoke to their game at all.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like now that we've seen it, there's a couple that I'm like, yeah, did you have I see that.
Could you give us some of the more interesting findings?
Sure. So I think that some of them are interesting. So for you know, the accuracy and the inaccuracy. So we've got Memphis, who his sun is Sagittarius and his moon is Virgo. And so the website I used to get the buzzword traits for positive are wise, soft, and persuasive. Exactly. I couldn't believe it. And I made this spreadsheet before the season like even started, before Wise Guys was a thing. So I thought that was very interesting. It was like, you know, some sort of
what else? Soft, you said?
Soft.
Okay. No comment.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, we don't know. Maybe
laundry. The laundry use like softener. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And then the negative traits, demanding,
yeah,
criticizing,
yeah,
and impulsive, which
okay.
I don't feel like his game was very impulsive.
Well, nocturnal emissions are impulsive.
I thought Enzo's ended up being really funny.
Yes.
So Enzo is a Capricorn, as discussed.
Yes, yes. Does that mean he likes corn?
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't? And with a Taurus moon. And the positive traits for that are relaxed, sophisticated.
No, I don't think that was a miss.
Yeah, and uncomplaining.
No, I think he's a big complainer.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, this was that clip they mentioned where Enzo is a Capricorn.
Huh. What's Enzo?
I don't know.
Enzo, when's your birthday?
Capricorn.
Capricorn.
You like corn?
The profiler.
A plus wit from Cody once again. Just wow, what a king of puns he is.
He's decades ahead of everybody on the comedy scene.
Definitely. Another funny one was David. So David is also a Capricorn, but he's got a Pisces moon. So you get totally different stuff for David. So his positive traits aren't that exciting. You get reliable, honest, which I think, you know, in some cases he was, and compassionate.
Yeah. He was super reliable.
Yeah. And the negative traits is what really got me. We got confused, gullible, and difficult.
Yeah, I could see it.
Three for three, I think.
I think that they really, really hit it there. And then with Nicole Franzel, she's a double Cancer. So she's Cancer sign,
on
Cancer
Twitter.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm definitely they're running with that one. So her positive traits: practical, innocent, and expressive. I do think that there's a certain innocence to Nicole. I mean, she doesn't even know what ramen is, but
Raymond.
Everybody loves it.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah. But the negative traits were easily offended, needy, and fearful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So I really feel like there were some interesting pulls that ended up coming through in people's games. So I don't know. I got some more, but I think that it's interesting to see how some of this ended up surprising. I did not see the whys coming. And actually, you know what? Cody, his is Sagittarius sun and Scorpio moon, and his positive traits are intense, astute, which I don't think so, and wise. Again, wise.
Yeah.
So.
And Enzo and Christmas probably too.
Yeah, they all actually say, wow, where did they get this?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wait. So.
All right. Well, great job, Jenny. It is Libra season. So
yes, for a little bit longer.
For
your birthday coming up.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Are you doing anything special for it?
Oh, definitely not.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Not this year. No. All right. But that's a sad story for another day. Grace, anything else that you want to add about Big Brother 22?
No, I think we're on. I don't know. I'm sort of hoping for a Cody win. I think Nicole, probably you're right. You were saying earlier that would lead to the most postseason drama. So maybe that's where I'm leaning. But I think if Cody wins, it'll be one of those things where we sort of look back later and be like, oh, wow, that was a really good game. And we'll sort of admire it from a distance, maybe. But maybe not. Maybe we won't admire it from a distance.
It was fine. It was just nothing flashy, nothing exciting. Like, there was no sizzle.
I already saw people on Twitter being like, or maybe I saw on Facebook, of like, can't wait for BB23. Like, spring is, you know, we have optimism. And that's the exact like roller coaster we've gone every year. We're like, we'll get excited for it. And then a big alliance forms, like, oh, this is boring. And then at the end, there's a little bit of excitement because there's a little bit of gameplay near the end. And then we're all just like, oh, okay. All right. That happened. That was Big Brother.
Yeah.
So.
Grace, did you see the commercial last night? They're casting for Big Brother 23.
Oh, for Big Brother 23. There's been a lot of, because I watch on, on Global TV.
Yeah, well, I can say that we got a commercial last night of like, all right, the All-Stars had their chance. Now it's your turn.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go back to anything.
What happened to the people that they were going to cast for this season before they had All-Stars?
Too bad for them. It was a BB Can 8 cast. So just like,
yeah, we have a super cast for Big Brother 23. So we'll see. All right. Well, I had so much fun today on the slop.
Me too. This is what I needed to close the season out. I feel like it's already over. But before we go, I did want to just give a quick shout out. We do shout outs, right? That's what Christmas does when she's got speeches. Mm-hmm, so,
sure.
Mandy, so at Like a Mandy with three Y's, did her own version of the BB comics, her own interpretation of the BB comics. And they're spectacular. She's also done some really fun graphics from Among Us that we were playing on Puya's stream. And yes, she got the spirit of a couple of moments from that.
Here, well, let's take a look. Okay.
Yeah. And she drew you, Rob, and wanted to discuss what your superhero name might be. And I have an idea.
All right. Hold on. Let's go.
She's very, very talented. Yeah. And I think that, if you were disappointed with the comics, on the show.
Yeah, so I think it's going to say my comic from this week.
That is
Robbio. Yes.
Yeah, that okay.
Here is Mandy's
else.
Take on Rob has a comic, and here I am. I'm throwing the bell.
So for a superhero name for you, what comes to mind to me is the Podfather.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm picturing so you've got the marionette type thing, from The Godfather, but so I think if you wanted to alter this graphic, maybe it's almost like Spider-Man though. If you're
could be
you've got
Podzaddy.
Podzaddy. It rolls right off the tongue. That tongue that Enzo's gonna catch.
What was your superhero name from Renap earlier?
I think I was freeze frame like David from last year because I was gonna stop time.
Threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is great. I feel like a Mega Man.
But she's got the look at the even like the detailing, the background, the blue, it's the same as your
nailed
podcast
it.
Background. Like
nailed
it's so
it.
Good.
Yes.
Anyway, I just wanted to make sure that Mandy got some props because she did such a great job.
Well, let me
with
see
her.
What else has Mandy been working on?
There's a whole go to.
Okay. So
here they are. There's
okay. I saw this. Here's Dr. Will. This is not the lifelike Dr. Will plastic doll. That's actually Dr.
Sold
Will.
Sold beside Memphis in the same store. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's okay. This is the Cake Crusader. Who's that?
That's Keisha.
Oh, anybody Keisha. Want got cake? It. Got yeah. it. Got it. Sorry. That was dumb.
And it says, anybody want kick?
Yeah. K Suasion. Okay. Not sure how many people.
Look at how good these graphics are, though.
Very good. Superstar. That's Janelle.
Okay.
Then we have this is, Realtor living in the house. That's another Janelle.
Janelle got two.
Yes. Okay.
Nicole's not going to be happy about that, Mandy.
Okay. Enzo is the yo yo. That's good.
He's got his
crayon.
That's so good.
I like that. Yeah. He's got a microphone like me. The gardener, as we said. Okay. She's always planting seeds, which
that's
is...
That's a good one. Yeah. I feel like that would have been so much better than she married into the worst alliance. Yeah.
Danny, she's always planting seeds.
Seeds, baby!
And then let's see. And then there's other.
There's
stuff.
A whole thread. If you go to her Twitter, at Like a Mandy three Y's. She did a whole thread of everyone, and it's fantastic.
Okay, all right, really,
it's really good.
Then did you see that there was an update also to the Robbio comic?
Oh no!
There was a edition two has already.
Like this can't be good.
Yes. Okay. So this was from the other day that Jude has been working on two editions of the Robbio comic, which is my BB comics. Here is the first edition, Robbio.
It's so disturbing. I'm sorry.
So they updated my look a little bit here.
The nipples are so small. Those could rival.
Those are like pennies.
That was Nicole's complaint.
Yeah.
Nipples weren't accurate.
Yeah. Puya's going to do a rewrite for this issue, issue number one. But check out issue number two of Robbio versus the Watcher. And here I am fighting the Watcher and exclaiming, I am not your father. I think that the Watcher is supposed to be Taryn, but I really, with all due respect to Jude, Like, I feel like that the artist rendering of Taryn, I think, is a little off.
Why does he have, like, an Elvis hair?
Yeah, it kind of looks like Taryn's wearing a mask. A poorly made mask of himself, maybe.
No, I like Taryn's BB comic of The Watcher. I like that. But I'm not sure why Taryn has black hair. And I have, like, a D'Angelo Williams type dreadlocks now.
I love that you are wearing the plaid shirt, but you still have it open to expose that.
It's more
chest.
Like a plaid robe. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Taryn's neck. I know he works out, but that is.
Yeah. Akiva levels of swollenness. Yeah. So there's edition number two of Robbio versus The Watcher, the whole Robbio series.
Can't wait to see what happens next. So good. So many talented people out there.
Yeah, this community is great.
Can't imagine having that talent.
Yes. I have facial hair now in Robbio edition two. As opposed to so much evolution from the comic collector's edition.
Your hair is always blowing in the wind.
Like, they release the issue too. They're like, we're gonna go for a soft reboot, I think.
Yeah, soft, plaid, like Memphis.
Get the beard.
I love that you couldn't bother to put on a shirt, but, like, you've got a belt on. You're keeping everything in.
All right, there you go. All right, that's our BB Comics. There you go. All right, next Friday is going to be, I'm going to be at my brother's wedding, so no slop next week. So we're looking at, unless something super sloppy happens, I think this is going to be the season finale of the slop. We've had so much fun all along the way, and I feel like a new podcast format has been born.
Like I said, this is what Big Brother, you know, we got something like this when you started the Summer of Stein. But I really just feel like this is a podcast that needed to happen a long time ago, and I'm so glad that, you know, maybe it took 2020 happening and there being no Survivor season for us to find this beautiful bucket of slop, and now we're all feeding upon it.
Yes, this batch of slop. Yes.
Yes, batch of slop.
We got treats.
Now
treats, baby.
Coming to a target near you.
Right. Watch out for the construction ditches along the way. All right. Yes. Jenny, where can people keep up with you? What do you have going on?
What do I have going on? Not a whole lot. You know, we're on our way out of Libra season, and, you know, I'm going to lose my energy soon. This is when I'm at my best.
You lose your energy?
No. I mean, I just feel like during Libra season, I'm at my finest. And so it's enjoy me while I last, guys.
You're
entering into a cold Canadian winter.
No, it's been actually a pretty good fall so far. Sure. And this weekend, I've been playing a lot of Among Us, especially on Puya's stream. It's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We played for 8 hours last Sunday.
Rob,
you were there for maybe two.
Yeah, I tapped out.
Like a sane person. And it was a holiday here. It was Canadian Thanksgiving on the Monday. I didn't have to work, so I said, screw it, I'm just gonna hang out and murder my friends all night. So it sounds like we will be playing again this Sunday. I think both Puya and Taryn might be streaming, but sounds like it anyway. So I'm very bad at being an imposter. So if you want to see me be really bad at being evil, check that out. So yeah, just kind of living my life and hoping for a compelling end to the season.
We'll see. We'll see.
I saw a clip of you calling out Puya as the imposter. So you may not be a good imposter, but you're a good.
That's the thing is I'm actually good at being good and figuring people like I'm a good crewmate. I work for my crew and I can smell people's bullshit a mile away. I'm just very bad at lying, which I think is not a terrible trait.
It's a good trait to have in the crew.
Anyway, and I'm still on Twitter with my usual BS at Jenny Autumn if you want to follow me.
Okay. All right. And then, Grace, where can people keep up with you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Hi From Grace. Exciting thing, I actually on a Rob Facebook Friday for patrons, I asked if anybody's interested in launching a podcast with me, looking for something to talk about. So yes. I have launched that podcast.
What are you podcasting about, Grace?
So Hudson and I, another patron, it's called Hold Up, anchor.fm/holdup. We look at LGBTQ media from the past and see if it holds up.
Yeah.
So episode 4 drops this Sunday. We're talking about the Ellen coming out episode.
Yes.
So I think pretty interesting, pretty groundbreaking piece of TV, but Ellen is quite the controversial figure at the moment.
Yes.
So be fun to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. And give out that handle one more time. I'll search for Hold Up.
We can find us on Twitter at Hold Up Podcast, but that's with one P, the only Twitter handle left. So Hold Up Podcast. But only one P.
So it's like Hold You Podcast.
It's like Hold, or we're an oddcast. So we're Hold Up Oddcast.
Hold Up Oddcast. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an oddcast.
Well, thanks so much to everybody who joined us along the way for the slop. This has been a lot of fun for me every single week to go through everything sloppy from the world of Big Brother. We still have a lot of Big Brother coming this weekend. Taryn will have the Saturday roundtable, live feed updates all weekend. And then I'll be back on Monday night to break down the Monday night HOH, and we'll see how this night's move HOH competition plays out. Thank you so much for watching. Of course, check out our Amazing Race coverage kicking off this week. We posted our Amazing Race episode 1 recap. I won't play the jingle for Jenny. And we'll have the Tar Pits, which is the slop. If you like this, you're going to love the Tar Pits, the slop of the Amazing Race coming this weekend. Of course, Renap the Musical is going to drop as well. So a lot of great stuff at robinsonwebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.